From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska. This is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. It is Sunday, August 7th, 2011, and this is Robert Forto hosting Dog Works Radio from the mushing capital of the world, Willow, Alaska. And on the line, we have our co-host calling in from Denver Dog Works. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing great on this Sunday afternoon. Hoping everybody is able to enjoy the last few weeks of summer with their dog, getting out there trying something new.
Well, you know, last night was the first night in a long time at 2:30 in the morning that I was able to walk downstairs in the pitch dark. We didn't have to worry about having the sun blaring in the windows in the middle of the night when I took the dogs out.
Yes, I have noticed that the earth did shift because the shade trees are casting different shadows of shade here in Colorado as well. It's always an interesting time of year when you notice that, but I'm glad that you were able to catch some sleep and some darkness.
Finally, so we are getting closer to winter. There's even snow on the mountains up in Palmer, so that what does that mean? Closer time to running the sled dogs. We're already out there training the dogs just about 2 or 3 days a week on short 7-8 mile runs, but at least we're getting the dogs hooked up and ready to go. So with that, we are talking to a rescue today on our Rescue Tales segment. It is called Tales of the Tundra, and we have her calling in from Pennsylvania. Her name is Diane Altieri. I believe I probably butchered that. She can help us out when we get her on air. Diane, are you there?
I am here, yes.
What is your correct name? I'm sure I messed that up there.
It's Altieri.
Altieri,
All kinds of versions are acceptable.
You know, with our last name, we get the same thing with Forto. So no problem. I've heard it for the last 40 years, so I understand. So you're with Tales of the Tundra, Siberian Husky and Alaskan Husky, Siberian Mixes type rescues over in Pennsylvania. What's going on over in your neck of the woods?
Well, today we are dealing with soupy weather, very, very humid. So as you can imagine, my personal dogs aren't really loving the weather. They go out, do their business, and come right back in and get in front of the air conditioning vents. So that's how we've been spending our dog days of summer right now, counting down to the cooler weather. But Tales of the Tundra as a whole, we're a nonprofit organization that formed in the year 2000 to help Siberian Huskies and Husky Mixes that have been abused, neglected, abandoned, or surrendered by their owners. So our goal are to place these dogs in loving homes and homes that are educated about the breed, because they are wonderful dogs, yet often misunderstood. So we have volunteers in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Maryland, Delaware, Connecticut, and West Virginia, all involved in helping raising funds and transporting dogs. And one of our biggest missions is educating people about the breeds, people that fall in love with the fluffy, blue-eyed, beautiful puppies, and bring them home. And 6 to 8 months later, they don't know quite what they've gotten themselves into. So that's why we're here.
So where are you guys located in Pennsylvania?
We're strictly volunteer-based. So we don't have a facility. We're not a shelter. All of our dogs live in private homes, homes of our volunteers. So amongst our personal dogs, we bring in foster dogs that live, you know, in our home, and we train them and take care of them, and they become part of our household while we work through any kind of behavioral issues and get them ready to be adopted out to families that are ready to add the dog to their home. So we're all over the northeast
You know, a lot of people, if they've never lived or spent any time in the East Coast, you know, when people think about having a multi-state operation, it's a little bit different on the East Coast. You're just a few hours from Washington to a few hours to Washington to New York City, so it's not too terribly far between each parts of the country when you're in that neck of the woods, right?
Correct. Yeah, I'm located on about 30 miles northwest of Philadelphia, so I can be in Philadelphia in about 40 minutes. We have about a half a dozen or so people out in our Pittsburgh area. We have a great half dozen or so in Maryland, New York, Jersey. So we're all within a good 2 to 3 hour ride from each other. Except for the Pittsburgh area, it's about a four-hour ride. But we have a great group of people in the various areas that, if we're transporting a dog, we can, work amongst each other in setting up a transportation route. We kind of have our own little buddy system in getting, what needs to be done. Dogs, looking to move from the New York area coming down to adoptions in the PA area.
Gotcha. So on our Rescue Tales segment, we profile a rescue every week, and with that, you guys share a story, and that's why it's called Rescue Tales. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about a dog named Vinny, right?
I do. Vinny, he is actually my third foster dog. He lives here with me in Pennsylvania with my two personal dogs, Storm and Major. Major was actually my first foster that came into my home, but I just fell in love with this three-month-old puppy and kept him. So I failed my first fostering, but now I'm on my third. And Vinny came from a little bit of a different situation than what we normally see, but it's one that is, problems that are popping up all over the U.S. He came in from a hoarding situation up in upstate New York. A family up there had over about 70 dogs in their home, living in really, really horrendous situation in a backyard. Most of the dogs were tied up to barrels and posts and, just kept on, their whole life was on chains. No grass in the yard, just a lot of mud and just a situation you wouldn't want to see any animal in. And we worked with a rescue group up in that area that worked directly with the family. And out of we were able to pull about 20-some dogs out of the situation. Two of the dogs actually felt the criteria that we needed to bring them into our foster homes, which included the dogs had to be social with other dogs. So we ended up with two Alaskan Huskies, which are mixed breeds. And Vinny came into my home the first weekend in December, shy and scared and just unsure of everything. Came in at 6.5 years old. I physically had to pry him out of his crate the first night just to get him to go outside to go to the bathroom. And because of his upbringing, being tied up in the yard very, very little non-existent people socialization skills, I kept him on a lead in my fenced-in yard until he got accustomed to me and my daughter and my dogs themselves. He's come a long way. He's a dog that went from, not approaching anybody, any person, to a dog that will approach and kind of sniff you out and, still a little insecure, very, very dog friendly. I mean, he actually needs to go to a home that has at least one other dog in the family because he's very comfortable around other dogs and needs to be with other dogs. It's the life that he knew. But the first few weeks were him just getting used to what it was like living indoors and having a comfy bed to sleep on and just walking on hardwood floors and knowing that my glass sliding door had to be opened versus him running smack dab into it. He, you know, didn't know what doors and stairs and everything were. So it was basically like, you know, bringing a puppy in that didn't know anything. And, you know, very, very scared and unsure of people. Just walking him on a leash has been a challenge. But this is a dog today that you take him to a dog park and he just lights up and runs and greets all the dogs as if they were his long-lost friends. It's a dog that now loves to go bye-byes in the car. He gets so excited, you know, when he sees the leashes come out. He's a dog that, you know, when I come home, he's right there with my other two, bouncing up and down, you know, giving me kisses and I'm home. It's a dog that, you know, runs and plays in the yard and has an actual happy expression on his face, where when he first came in, you could see how lost he was and how afraid he was. So to see that the transformation in the last 8 years has been very, very heartwarming, and it's one of those situations that, you know, make what I do and the rest of us in rescue do, you know, all that more worthwhile.
So my only question to you, Diane, we're talking to Diane Altieri. She is with Tales of the Tundra, Siberian Husky and Husky Mixed Rescue in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Is how long you guys typically keep your rescues in the foster home? I know it's a little different for each rescue. I'm just trying to find out where you guys are at.
Basically, they stay as long as they need to until we find the right home. We are huge in matching the right dog to the right family based on our applications and our interview process that our application schedulers go through. So, you know, applications that come through that may be looking for a particular age or color, you know, we basically match the dog to the family based on their lifestyle, the activities that they do, how they want to interact with the dog. You know, if they're an older couple that just wants kind of a laid-back companion, you know, we're not going to send in a 6 to 8 month, a year to 1 year, or a year to 3 year young dog. You know, they're full of energy and require, you know, enormous amount of exercise to keep them out of trouble. You know, so we'll look at our more senior dogs, you know, a little more 5, 6, 7, 8 years old that are a little more low-key. All the dogs have the same characteristics from, you know, one dog to the next, but each have their own individual personality. So, you know, a dog can last anywhere from 2 months to Vinny, who has needed, you know, more time. He's been in my home, you know, for 8 months now. You know, and he's a dog that's going to, you know, require a little bit of extra care and a family that's going to understand his background and his little quirky nature and little nuances that come with him that make him who he is. So it all depends on the family and the right dog that we find that you know, fits perfectly into that family.
That sounds great. And you guys that do work in rescues, it's a different type of job than what a lot of people think. So I do appreciate you guys being on the Rescue Tales segment at Tales of the Tundra, Siberian Husky and Husky Rescue. How do the people get in contact with you? Do you guys have I'm sure you have a Facebook page. Do you have a website or any other information?
Yeah, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and our website is siberescue.com, S-I-B-E, rescue.com. And you can find out information about us, how to get in contact with us. Our available dogs are listed on there, our foster dogs. We also check shelters in the states that our volunteers live in. So we cross-post dogs that are in shelters, and we also work with families who want to rehome their dogs. But if we don't have the foster care available, we have an owner assistance program that basically the dog remains in the owner's home, and we invite them out to our adoptions. So the adopters go through our screening, and we help families that way by giving them the opportunity to get their dogs in front of homes that are educated and ready to accept the breed into their home.
Well, thank you very much, Diane. We will definitely keep in touch, and I'll make sure I send over
thank
a link
you.
To the page. Michelle
awesome.
Has your email and things like that. So that is Diane with Tales of the Tundra, Siberian Husky, and Husky Rescue, located in Pennsylvania, but also in the greater East Coast area, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, et cetera. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh,
we'll talk
you.
To you again
thank
soon.
Thank you.
And, Michelle, we're going to take a quick break. We have our next guest on the line calling in from Canada, and he sent me an email while the show was airing that says that our 800 number does not work in Canada, so that is news to me. So we're going to bring up Martin Hubbard of Blanket ID in just a second, but we're going to take a quick break and be right back.
At Denver Dog Works, we offer a service dog training program for individuals nationwide. Each and every service dog that is trained through Denver Dog Works and Michelle Forto and her team has an individualized training plan. Michelle trains for autistic, mobility, medical alert, and psychiatric service work. In each case, the needs of the individual are met and training of each dog is specialized for their handler's specific needs. It takes approximately 2 years to train a service dog and takes a tremendous amount of patience, handling, and work from everyone involved, including the family members of the service dog recipient. If you are interested in finding out more about our service dog training program, please visit our website at denverdogworks.com or give us a call at 303-578-9881.
And we are back. This is Dog Works Radio. My name is Robert Forto, hosting from Alaska, and we have on the line Michelle Forto, hosting from Colorado. Michelle, are you still there?
I am still here.
And on the line, we have our next guest calling in from Canada. His name is Martin Hubbard, and he is with the company called Blanket ID. It is a pet identification system. It's remarkable what these guys are doing with something as simple as a little pet ID tag. Martin, are you there?
Hi, Robert. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you very much. I apologize for the 800 number. I had no idea. Yes.
I'm sorry, but I need to let you know that there is a big echo.
Okay. All right. So we'll see if we can fix that real quick. Martin, I apologize for the 800 number there. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Victoria, B.C.
Okay. Very close to us, actually. Not too far down the coast from Alaska. So welcome to Dog Works Radio. Introduce yourself, if you will, and tell us about your company.
Well, thank you. Hi, my name's Martin. Our company started a couple of years ago when we adopted a couple of rescue animals ourselves. And in the process of finding those animals, we couldn't help but notice how many pets were just lost in the system. These are animals that are obviously loved and cared for. They're obviously part of somebody's family, but somehow or another, they just got lost. So this gained our interest, and we thought, what can we do to help these guys? And then it was one of those kind of moments where you get in a flash. An idea that we had was to launch Blanket ID. So to explain what Blanket ID is, it's a very different type of ID tag. It doesn't carry your phone number or the animal's name. It carries a unique code number. Now, what happens is, if you buy a Blanket ID tag, you can create a record for your pet online. So think about extra contact numbers. Think about your vet's contact and address if your animal's ever found in distress. Think about putting medical details, allergies, care instructions. Really, what we say to people is, think of anything you would want someone to know if they found your animal, because you can put that information at Blanket ID. Now, if somebody finds your pet lost, they can simply go to blanketid.com, put that code number in, and they can see everything you want them to know. And they can see that 24/7, even if they can't get you. So one of the things we found in our search for our animals was that a lot of dogs turn up at shelters, and they either don't wear tags or the tags are out of date, so they're useless. But because your information at Blanket ID is stored online, you can update that anytime you wish. You can even update it after your animal's been lost if you choose to. So it's a great way to always keep the pet ID tag current. We then thought, well, we can actually be cleverer than this, because if you trust us with all that information, what we can do is say, well, just tell us if your animal does get lost by going to Blanket ID and reporting your pet lost. We'll then use a broadcast email to our database of SPCA shelters, pounds, rescues, and other Blanket ID members, and we'll send that information out to all of those people so they can be aware to look out for this animal. And it just works great. It helps animals to be found more quickly, because what people don't understand is the people that find your animal aren't the people in the shelter or the vet. They're your neighbors. They're people in your local neighborhood, and they need to be able to get in touch with you quickly. They don't want to have the trouble of taking your animal to a shelter to get it scanned or to a vet to get it traced by a tattoo, because, you know, what happens if it's midnight on a Sunday night? No one can get in touch with you. So this is a great way to always keep things current and be able to find quickly, to be found quickly if your animal gets found.
You know, Martin, I think that's a great idea, is having the first line of communication with the people that find the dog, not necessarily the shelter, with the scanners and whatnot. So you said you send out an email to all of these guys. Yeah. Is it just in the area where the dog is found, or throughout the country?
It's within 15 miles.
Okay.
And you can also print your own lost pet poster straight from the site, so that's great for getting the word out in your local neighborhood really quickly.
Right, right.
I'm sorry, can I say something?
Sure.
Well, Martin, I'm Michelle, and I'm really glad that you have developed this program, because so many times I have my clients say that they have done the microchip. And I've asked them, did you go back after you did the microchip a week or two later and make sure that the vet scanned your dog and make sure the microchip didn't back out on your dog? And they say, no, I had no idea I needed to do that. Several times people have gone in and found out that the microchip's not even on their dog anymore.
Yeah. I have another problem with that. I'm glad you brought that up, Michelle, because so many people just kind of say, oh, my dog's chipped, I don't need ID. But they don't realize that not all shelters actually scan for a chip. Not all chips get found by a scanner. And sometimes there's the everyday things where, you know, maybe the scanner is broken. So your dog's not going to get scanned. People then make it a step worse because they forget to update their details with the microchip company or pay their renewal fee with the microchip company. And then the whole thing is just useless, so it's no help whatsoever.
Right, right. You know, it's important that you have as many lines of defense as you can with ID, whether it be ID and microchips, or even, you know, nowadays people are embroidering their phone numbers on their dogs' collars and things like that. So I think all of these methods are great ways to have a way to contact the owner of the dog, which is important. So my next question to you, Martin, is a lot of times I found, especially with working dogs, is the dog's collars will come, or tags will come off of their collars. Have you guys addressed that at all?
We have we manufacture our tags right here in Canada, so they are actually engineered from solid brass. We then put on the ID number and a design, which is very nice on one side. We put that on with the same kind of stuff that people stick decals to yachts. So it's very hard-wearing, very waterproof. It's supposed to last a lifetime for you. I think the weakness is with the split ring that people use. We supply a quality split ring. And as long as people don't force that split ring into a spiral when they put it on the collar, it's going to stay there forever. And we also use another thing called a Rubik clip, which is like a little carabiner clip that carries the tag, which is great for swapping between collars, and it really makes the tag very secure.
And we're talking to Martin Hubbard of BlanketID.com. It's a pet identification system. And I've checked out your website and looked at it for the last couple of weeks. I love the way that the tags look, and I think it's a great way to stay in contact with your pets if they are lost. The next question I have, Martin, is tell us about how people get involved with the system once they purchase the ID and things. What are the steps? You said that they go on and enter the information online. Is there a fee for that? Is there a recurring fee every year, every 5 years? How does that work?
The tag itself, Robert, comes with a year's membership included. So for $25, you get a tag and a year's membership. if you like the system and you'd like to carry on with it, there is a renewal fee, which is annual, and it can be as low as just $7 for a whole year. Because we had this vision when we started the company that, I don't know if you've seen our blanket fund for animals on the site too?
Yes.
Right. Well, more than 15% of our profits go into our own fund that we use to support animal welfare. The big vision that we had was that if we could get enough people to adopt the blanket concept, we'd have less animals going to shelters because they'd get home faster. So that's going to take the weight off shelters. If people would subscribe for extra years, we give quite a large portion of that membership into our blanket fund for animals. So we would finish up with a situation where we had an awful lot of people who were just giving a little bit of money to the blanket fund, but nevertheless, even that's a little bit, it would grow into a big stream of revenue that we could give back to animal welfare. So it seems like a situation where everybody wins, because you buy one tag that essentially is going to last you a lifetime because you never need to change it. You change your details online. It's great if you ever travel with your pet, because imagine, Robert, you're in a hotel away from home and you lose your dog. You can actually go online and change your details to the hotel's address and phone number.
Yeah.
So if anybody finds your dog, they don't now phone home to find you're not there because, hey, you're on vacation. They can actually phone the hotel.
You
so
know,
it's great for that. So if people would just get on board with Blanket and adopt it as their primary ID, we think we could make a big difference to some of these animal welfare organizations that perhaps get overlooked and don't get funded.
I think that's a great idea. Michelle, you had a point there?
I want to share a little bit of a story, Martin, because I fly back and forth between Denver and Anchorage a lot. And I had a layover in Seattle last to meet up there. And I'm sitting on the tarmac and I'm looking out the window trying to, you know, enjoy my moment because the plane flight had been delayed. And lo and behold, here goes this corgi running across the tarmac.
Wow.
He did not have his collar on at all. It had come off, and he had gotten out of his crate and things, and I'm just wondering, you know, do you guys have an idea to where you can link with the microchipping companies, your information as well? I mean, you know, those things, those types of things happen where people just leave their dog in the care of someone else, and that person was not able to keep the dog under control. You know, he got out of the crate, he's running across the tarmac, and he never caught him.
That's a tricky situation. All I would say is that with Blanket, if you reported your pet lost, you actually report where you lose your pet, and the broadcast is based on 15 miles around that point, not on your home address. So if you lost your dog at an airport, you could send a lost pet report out, and that report does contain a photo of your animal. So this is why SPCA like us so much, because when somebody brings an animal into them, the chances are they've had an email and they can actually match by the picture, because people have a real problem describing their animals correctly.
That's a great idea, especially the photo opportunity, because so many people get the microchips and other things when their dogs are young, you know, cute, cuddly little puppies, and of course they grow up to look like different dogs altogether by the time that they are full-grown adult dogs. My next question, Martin, we're talking to Martin Hubbard of BlanketID.com, is his website, is what do you find, if anything, is different in Canada than we have here in the U.S. in regards to shelters and things and the way that they deal with lost pets?
I believe that Canada has less kill shelters than the U.S. And that's an interesting point to bring up, Robert, because we've found from some of our research that people who find dogs that don't have visible ID are reluctant to take them to a shelter to see if they're microchipped, because they figure that if they take a dog to a shelter and it's not chipped, they've just perhaps condemned it to death in 72 hours.
Hmm.
So the difference is in Canada, I think they have a big no-kill movement, and the figures vary depending on who you talk to. But, yeah, there's a lot less euthanasia, I believe, here in Canada.
Well, that's a good thing, because, you know, we have showcase a rescue every week here on DogWorks Radio, and that's all about removing the dogs from the shelters and putting them in a foster situation until they can find a proper home. So I think, again, just another way of having that ability to contact the previous owners, because nobody wants to lose their pets. Very few pets are abandoned. Most of them are lost, and I think that's an important point to bring up. So what are your guys' ideas for mass pet losses, like Hurricane Katrina and things like that? Because obviously most of those dogs and things didn't have identification. What are your thoughts as a company on things like that?
My thoughts on that sort of thing is, once you have your record online and you have your dog properly tagged, it's a great first line of defense. A lot of the rescues we work with, and a lot of the people who do marvelous work in getting animals adopted into homes, we're on the front end of that. We want to stop animals getting to the shelter in the first place.
Right.
We want your pet home quickly. We don't want it stressed. We don't want it taken to a shelter and maybe held in a cage and handled by strangers. Blanket has a great way of helping animals to get a bit of respect here, because in your profile you build for your animal, you can actually add care instructions and allergy information. So hopefully people who find your animal, if they have to look after it for you, know how to treat it best and what not to feed it and what to be careful of. They also know if it needs any medication. This is another thing SPCA like, because when animals come in, they can see straight away if it's been suffering from diabetes and needs maybe some urgent medication. So it's just, to answer your question, I think being prepared is a great idea. And whoever finds your pet, for whatever reason, give them as much information as you can to make the situation best.
Right. And you know, with a system like yours, you're planning for a catastrophe, you know, your dog being lost. My next question, Martin, is what has been the response? Hopefully a person buys your ID and they never lose their pet and they never have to use your system. What are you finding out from your clients? What's some feedback?
Some feedback. When we began the company, we thought, hey, this is a nice idea. We'll be working in Canada for a while, and hopefully one day we'll be able to go down to the States. Well, bang, like a month after we started business, we had so much demand from south of the border here. We're, I think, about 86% of our business is now in the U.S.
Wow.
And we just continue to grow and grow because we get great word of mouth through Facebook and Twitter. And we've had quite a number of successes with dogs found and quickly returned to their owners. We've had a couple of examples where dogs have turned up at shelters where they've escaped from houses without their collars on, and been recognized from the broadcast emails.
Hmm.
We've had a number of cats found and returned as well, because our tags are very light. They're only an inch by half an inch, and they weigh 5 grams, which is the weight of just 2 pennies. So they're great for cats as well as small dogs, big dogs, or any animal. I think we also developed the site to work through smartphones too. So it's great that somebody could even find a dog that's got lost on a dog park and actually phone the owner right there from their smartphone after logging in and finding the owner's cell phone number.
Well, that's a great idea, because everybody's running around with their iPhones and Androids these days.
Sure.
So, you know, that's a great point to make, is they can contact the person right there. So tell us about that contact. You know, you find a lost pet, and there's the ID tag. What is the person that finds the dog do? Is there an 800 number? Is there a website? How does that work exactly?
You just go to blanketid.com, and you'll see a big orange button that sits there in your face that says Find a Pet. You'll click on that button, and it'll just show you where to enter the number from the tag. As soon as you do that, it will actually automatically email the owner and say, hey, this person has found your animal. You then get to see all the information that they would want you to know. And it's really that quick.
And
when you register that you found this animal, you can include your phone number and your email address or any message or whatever. It's just opening those lines of communication.
And then it's just up for the owner to drive over to this person's home or whatever and pick up their dog. Simple as that. There is no red tape involved or anything like that. It's just, hey, I have your dog. Come and pick him up, right?
Yeah, and we monitor all of the lost and found email that goes through the company in case there's anything we can do to help with emergency-wise. And it's interesting to see that a lot of people put reward information online. They also put the small idiosyncrasies about their dog. And I had one last week that's a really good example where this is a German Shepherd, and it has what they call luctating patellas, which is bad knees in its legs.
Uh-huh.
So somebody's actually put in there, you know, if you have my dog, please don't make it jump up on or off of a pickup truck because it's going to hurt itself. Now, there's no way you would know that from a traditional tag. Yeah, it's a really important piece of information if you found this dog and you're trying to look after it and keep it safe for its owner. So
right.
Get all of
right.
that, too.
It helps take away some of the assumption that people out there trying to do good for the pets, you know, sometimes they'll see a pet that's been injured and they won't know that it's a cat injury, so they assume that you've abused your dog or
sure.
Things like that. Your dog can be away from home for as short a period as 24 to 72 hours and lose an extreme amount of weight, and they may assume that you starve your dog. And
yeah.
Blanket ID is a great system. I mean, there's a lot of diabetic dogs out there and cats now, and if you don't have the information that you need that pet needs to have insulin soon, then you can't help that pet either.
Yeah, there's another little dimension here that really helps in that on your animal's profile, you can add your vet's details. So if anybody does find your animal and it's clearly in distress or injured, they can get direct access to a medical professional who knows the animal's history.
It sounds more and more like the way to go for identification. As you guys say on your website, you want to be the animal welfare company of tomorrow, and I think you guys are doing that very nicely. Martin, anything else? Yeah, you're welcome. Anything else you want to mention before we close, Martin?
No, I think this has been a great little platform to let people know what's going on, and I really appreciate the chance to get the word out, Robert.
No problem. We'll definitely keep in touch. I know we follow each other on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and just about everywhere else. So I'll definitely keep in contact, and I'll send you over some links to the show as well. I'm going to try my best to get rid of this second echo that you're hearing. We'll download it and reload it up and try to remove some of that before we post the show online for good. Martin, how do people get in contact with you? I know through your website. Can they call you for questions, et cetera?
They can. All our contact details are on our website, on our Contact Us page. And please, any emails or phone calls are gratefully received.
And definitely check out the testimonials page. He's got some great testimonials and reviews on their product, on their website. You guys have to check that out. This company here, they're moving and shaking, if I have to say so myself. I think this is going to be a great way to help the lost pets of America and of Canada. I think this is going to be a great movement. Martin Hubbard of Blanket ID, blanketid.com. You can find them all over the place. Just type that into Google and they will pop up. It's been a pleasure, Martin. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you very much, Robert.
Thank you. Have a good day. Michelle, goodbye. Anything else you would like to say to close?
No, I'd just like to say that, you know, in just about over a year, this is the show that we just happen to have the echoes come back for. And I want to say, you know, props to you and your technical abilities. I know you'll probably be able to work it out, but sometimes these things happen in radio.
They do. So we'll get it fixed as best as we can. But like Michelle said, it's internet radio, so we'll do our best. So we want to thank our guests Martin Hubbard and Diane Altieri from Tales of the Tundra Rescue. She was in our first segment. Next week we're going to have an artist calling in from the Washington, D.C. area. He does some pretty cool artwork. He is the guy that did the artwork for my Foursquare banner for our Team Aneke page. So if you like that, you'll definitely have to check this guy out as well. He'll be on next Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 12 o'clock Mountain, and 10 a.m. up here in Alaska. So on behalf of our guest and our co-host Michelle Forteau, this is Dog Works Radio. Never forget your dreams. Goodbye.